As important as choosing the right destination when traveling is choosing the right travel partner.
Gene!
Eugene Fodor!
Gene, was good.
But be careful, because the worst trips result when two partners have two different agendas.
The CIA really need your help, Gene.
Freeze, Americano! Huh? Oh!
Gene, run!
Listen to Fodor's Guide to Espionage on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast host Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every family has an origin story, one passed down through the generations. Mine happens to be a mystery involving my great-great-grandmother left behind in Sicily. I'm Joe Piazza, and my new podcast will transport you to the gorgeous island of Sicily as I trace my roots back through a whodunit for the ages. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind. My name is Robert Lamb.
And I'm Julie Douglas.
I really thought you were going to go for a nickname there. Sometimes you throw in a cool, on-topic nickname.
I can't really think of anything. Yeah. Julie Dempsey Douglas?
Maybe.
Julie,
that could work.
Bag of Oranges Douglas?
Yeah. These would be your mafia names, your mobster personas, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Julie Bat in the Corner Douglas.
Bat in the Corner?
Like a bat, baseball bat?
Oh, I was thinking an actual bat since we just did an episode on vampire bats.
Oh, no, so, no, no.
It's like, I got a bat in the corner here. This guy might be rabid. I'll just unleash him at you any moment. You have to go get a rabies shot and everything.
Going for the jugular. Yeah.
Sure.
All right. Or maybe we can just call me Joe Pesci.
Joe Pesci. Okay. Yeah.
Maybe. Forever associated with all mafia movies.
That's right. Very, very typecast, that man.
Yeah.
So, if you haven't guessed already, or bothered to read the title of the podcast, we are, of course, talking about the Cuckoo Mafia. We're talking about the Animal Mafia. We're talking a little bit about the Human Mafia as well, in the various forms one encounters it.
Yeah, because you do. If you actually take this system, this organized system, and you begin to really peel back the layers, you can see it in all different places in society, right?
Yeah, you really begin to see mafia, organized crime, and it is not this bunch of stereotypical looking guys, you know, Joe Pesci's and their ilk standing in the corner and doing very stereotypical things. You see it as kind of an economic model that is spread not only through all human culture, but even into the animal world.
Well, I was going to say, like, even in our break room, you have Jonathan Strickland there who, you know, you got to put money in a certain place in the break room, right, to get access to the coffee.
Ah, yes, the coffee
racket. Right? Or else there's no more coffee. And that's just the way it is, right? If you want your coffee supply fresh and you want it every day, then Strickland gets his payment.
Right, or the way that when we bring our yogurts in, we always have to bring in that one extra yogurt because one Christian Conger insists on having, quote, just enough to wet her beak.
Otherwise,
all the yogurt winds up on the floor. All of it. And it's disgusting, and it really takes it out of you. Because, like, that was delicious yogurt, and it all went to waste. And why? Because I wasn't willing to put up with just a little yogurt loss in my diet each week.
That's right. Everybody loses the yogurt if you do not supply it for Kristen. All right. So we are not trying to glorify the mafia, which is actually, if you think about mafia, that is a huge umbrella term under which many different organizations from different cultures around the world huddle underneath. And we tend to think of the Godfather and then this quaint group of men just playing checkers in their undershirts. But worldwide, we see mafia doing different types of damage in the way of human trafficking, illegal wildlife trading, drugs, of course, to name a few. So we wanted to put that out there. This is not glorifying the mafia, but we just wanted to kind of cover how they work in the world so that we have a better understanding of how animals may be doing the same sort of strategies and tactics that the mafia is.
Indeed, yeah. I should add, I love the Godfather movies. Those are some great films. And there are a few other organized crime pieces here and there that I've really enjoyed over the years. But I find more and more I just cannot watch films or get involved in media that is about those sort of stereotypical gangster characters. This is one of the reasons I never even could manage to watch The Sopranos, even though I know The Sopranos is supposed to be brilliant.
Such good writing.
I know. But at heart, it's about these criminal guys that I've seen are, you know, I'm sure less, artistically solid takes on them so many times before. It's like I just don't have any more room for it. Like, I'm not convinced there's anything new that I can gain from characters that are even partially cast from this mold.
All right, well, let's talk about this mold, because when we talk about the mafia, we are essentially talking about Cosa Nostra, which is roughly translated as our thing, which is kind of this closed circuit within a criminal syndicate. And when we talk about these criminal syndicates, we're really talking about, at least in this old usage of that term, in southern Italy, Sicily, these different neighborhoods in which certain families lorded over those communities. And I thought this was really interesting. I found this little tidbit of John Gotti talking to some of his subordinates about Cosa Nostra. And this was right before he got ratted out by a bunch of people. And he says, "This is going to be Cosa Nostra till I die." Okay, I'm going to quit doing that. "Be it an hour from now, or be it tonight, or 100 years from now, when I'm in jail, it's going to be a Cosa Nostra. Some guys, some people downstairs," he's referring to the nightclub below, "now who I know whose beep stomach is rotten, I know whose stomach ain't rotten. I could smell it the way a dog senses when a guy's got fear." Okay. That's not just for local color to give you an idea of what the mafia sounds like, because everybody probably already knows that. But I thought that that conversation, just that little excerpt, spoke volumes about the environment of fear and implied violence that would come to those who crossed the code.
Yeah.
There you see the beginnings of a system that's keeping everybody in check.
Because at heart, it is a parasitic relationship. It is a parasite feeding upon the host. But on top of that, we have this layer of fear and intimidation, which, and it comes down to an economic model. I mean, just think of just your average mafia scenario from 1,000 movies, right? Some guy's running a shop, and some, you know, individual walks in, perhaps with a heavy behind him, and says, "Hey, you got a nice shop here. It'd be a pity if something happened to it. I can prevent things, bad things from happening to it if you give me X amount of dollars, you know, per month." So it comes down to, all right, which, if I'm going to expend, I'm going to have to waste some energy, expend some energy to pay this man. All right. So we put how much, we stack that money up on the counter. But then if I were to resist this individual, I would have to expend even more energy, right? I would have to somehow fight him back physically or align with those who would. And then that comes with inherent risks. So it comes down to just an economic decision, which is easier and which entails less risk.
And the interesting thing about this is that within this code, this system, there's a kind of justice that is doled out, particularly if you are in the mafia landscape, right? And you're one of the enforcers. If the person doesn't pay up, there's a justice. You know, your restaurant's not going to run very well pretty soon. Maybe your brother won't get that promotion. You know, there are things that benefit the person who's paying, not just just the maintenance of their restaurant, but perhaps their social stature.
Right, and there, and often there is some degree of protection there, certainly from other nefarious individuals. Like, you're probably not going to be paying two protection rackets to two different parasitic mafia dudes. You're going to be paying one dude, and that dude is going to keep the other dude off your back because you are now part of his turf.
Ah, so that's a great point, that safety element. So that kind of comes down to this idea of what is altruism. And we should probably do another episode that is completely dedicated to altruism, because it's very interesting. But there's this idea of altruistic punishment versus selfish on selfish punishment, which is what the mafia does, right? That selfish on selfish. And according to Princeton University and University of Arizona researchers, society's rule against selfishness, or rules rather, are rooted in the very exploitation that they condemn. And it may be that the reason that some of the selfish on selfish justice punishment comes down the pike is because it's a resources issue at the end of the day. It's a little bit easier to cede control to a couple of really influential peddlers out there in the community and say, rather than really be engaged civically and try to mete out justice in a way that is thoughtful and community minded.
Yeah, because on one hand, with the altruistic punishment model, you have the idea of, you know, like the wise, benevolent mayor of the town saying, "Oh, well, if you break the rules, they're going to be there's going to be a cost, or you know, you're going to wind up in the jail cell, you're going to wind up with a fine, or you're going to be expelled, what have you." And then on the selfish on selfish side that we're looking at, the mafia punishment, that is one guy saying, "Hey, these people are my turf. You can't mess with them. That's what I do. You can't exploit them because I am exploiting them to the degree that I can get away with it."
Yeah, and this system of altruism was actually reported in the journal Evolution. And what they did is they took a simulation model that gauged how a community withstands a system built on altruistic punishment or selfish on selfish punishment. And they did. They found that that kind of altruistic punishment, in which the community comes together and is very civic-minded, does demand a lot of resources, and that is perhaps why systems like the mafia tend to do really well, because as a result, there is a lower instance of crime overall in that community against citizens. So you may say, okay, a couple people become fat cats and they're awful and they do some terrible things, but as a whole, the community is protected.
Yes, and what's really fascinating about this Princeton University of Arizona study was how they draw in that idea that not only does the simpler economic model, again, is the fat cat model, the mafia model, as opposed to the altruistic ruler model. But their idea that we get that more altruistic version of civilization and society emerges from the fat cat model. It evolves over time. And you really see this if you sort of squint your eyes and really think about the systems of power in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what is the difference between the mafia boss who keeps things under wrap but is getting plenty on the side, is living very comfortable at the top? What is the difference between that dude, that Joe Pesci sort of typecast character, and a government? What's the difference between that dude and a corporation? What's the difference between that dude and just your average local nice guy employer? Like, there are elements of the same model everywhere you look.
Well, yeah, and talk about influence peddlers and fat cats. If you're talking about lobbyists, and I'm not saying that all lobbyists are working outside of the margins, but we have a couple of cases under our belt that we can point to lobbyists having tremendous wealth and power, and essentially, some people looking at it this way, buying politicians, literally buying them by offering them money or goods, or maybe just even their influence is so great that they have that politician in their pocket.
Now, let's get out of the mafia model for a moment, and let's get into a more medieval model.
Which actually, yeah, I mean, this predates the mafia, right?
Yeah.
And medieval knights, basically a military order created in 1129 to protect Christian pilgrims visiting Jerusalem. I'm talking about the Knights Templar. They branched out over time in Western Europe, and they created a network of banks that enabled religious pilgrims to deposit assets in their home countries and then withdraw the funds in the Holy Land, right? So what do you have over time? You have the Knights Templar gaining huge amounts of financial resources, And we still have that protection element in there. So mm-hmm. all of a sudden the threat becomes, and sometimes it's not even, the threat is so pervasive, they don't even have to say it. If you don't pay up, if you don't give it to the Knights Templar, perhaps something bad will befall you.
It's, and the Knights Templars model is an interesting one to look at too, because of course the Knights Templars did reach that point. We were talking about at what point do I say it's actually worth the effort to break down this organization? And that eventually occurred. The Catholic Church, of course, eradicated the Templars after a while. So, and you can definitely make the argument that this is a case of one fat cat looking over the other fat cat, and you know, being like, you know what? You used to be a smaller cat in our feral community, but now you're a little too big. You're a little too powerful, and we're going to see that you go away. And I don't want to put it all on the Catholic Church. The King of France also played a substantial role in that scenario as well.
But that does go back to that mathematical model in which we're talking about two people, those two fat cats that are trying to cancel each other out.
Right.
And say at the end of the day, their coda rules.
Yeah, because everybody can't be a fat cat. And you can only have so many parasites living off the host. And so there's a careful balance that has to be maintained. And again, you can look to governmental models, you can look to big business, and you see very similar things. There can only be so many dominant players in a particular commercial market. And what do they do? There's a certain amount of competition they will tolerate, and then there are certain types of competition that they will readily feast upon or destroy.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and when we get back, we're going to talk about cuckoo birds.
Yes.
We're going to talk about their spaghetti dinners and their back rooms.
As important as choosing the right destination when traveling is choosing the right travel partner.
Gene!
Eugene Fodor!
Gene, we'll boot it!
Much of the joy you will find on the road comes from the person you share it with.
So you write the books, Gene, and Vlastar on the business. I understand now. It's a wise man who marries a wiser woman.
But be careful and choose your travel partner well, because the worst trips result when two partners have two different agendas.
Get down!
I'm not stupid, Gene. Something is going on, and it's high time you tell me the truth.
Freeze, Americano! Huh? Oh!
Gene, run!
So travel before it's too late. Your money will return, your time won't, and we're all too quickly approaching that final destination.
Listen to Fodor's Guide to Espionage on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us.
Oh, yeah.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics, in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Elia Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're back. Before we start talking about our fine feathered friends, let's talk about tree wasps and cancer cells, because they do actually have something to do with this whole mafioso system.
Indeed. Now, wasps engage in some of the other practices we're going to discuss shortly, but tree wasps have been observed that police hives to make sure that no member other than the queen lays eggs. And these same police, though, will often lay illicit eggs themselves. So it's the case where it's my job to lay down the law. But since I'm the one laying down the law, I'm the one who can bend it a bit.
Indeed. And so it's kind of interesting. I'll just slip in a couple of my eggs. That's all right. I'm the influence peddler here.
Exactly.
And then, in terms of cancer cells, we know that mutations in a cell's own DNA initiate the changes that put it on a really destructive path. But it's a lot more nuanced than that, because the microenvironment of a tumor acts like a kind of co-conspirator. And we won't get way into this, because we could dedicate an entire podcast to this. But essentially, what you see are cancer cells that will prevent other tumors from forming, as if to say, no, 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 this is my tumor corner here. Which, you know, essentially at the same time is kind of a good thing, because there's no more tumors that are forming. But you see this, again, in nature, and you see it best in birds.
Ah, yes. And that, of course, is why we call this episode The Cuckoo Mafia, because we see some really fascinating birds that are involved in brood parasitism, also known as egg dumping. Now, egg dumping, when you just say that, it brings to mind like just this idea of a bird that doesn't know what to do with its eggs, just like throwing them off a cliff or something. But that's not what's going on here. This is the idea that that on one hand you have the birds that are laying their eggs, they're raising their young, and it's a nice, beautiful, wonderful thing that you would see in a child's book about nature. And then you have those other birds. Those birds don't care. They don't want to look after that egg and raise that chick and vomit food into its mouth. They have other things to do. They have a different set of values. But they have a genetic mission. Like all organisms, they need their offspring to survive. So they've developed this practice of dumping eggs on these other bird nests, on these other more stable environments, with the intention that the egg will hatch and the chick will be raised in that environment.
And ha ha ha. That poor bird in the nest, right? And we see this in seabirds, but the thing about seabirds is that they'll deposit their eggs and then take off, and then they won't know whether or not this actually came to fruition, their young broad.
Right, and in some cases, if the egg hatches, it's likely going to be eaten by the very family that they were dumped upon. It's not a good model, really.
And they have to find eggs that are species that are somewhat similar to them, so that the egg can maybe squeak in there and go unnoticed at least for a while.
Right, because eggs, if you're just used to looking at chicken eggs in the fridge, you know, just the white kind that come from your supermarket, you may miss out on this, but there is a lot of difference among all the different types of bird eggs out there. Just different colors, different patterns.
Mm-hmm.
And so a bird is going to be able to tell if, hey, I lay brown eggs and there is a blue speckled one in here. Something is off. Somebody's trying to pull one over on me.
It's true. And so we have birds that will do the sort of egg dumping, but they're going to take these mafia-like tactics and ensure that that egg will be taken care of, that it gets protected. And it does that vis-a-vis the own protection or destruction that it offers.
Right. The one of the best examples of this, of course, is the cowbird. There are two species of cowbird. You'll find both in North America, and they've managed to spread out even more from their original territory due to the way that we treat our land as a human species. But what's remarkable here is that they are very much like that scenario we were talking about earlier. Hey, nice story. It'd be a pity if something happened to it. And then if you don't pay up, what happens? Oh, well, suddenly the front window to your store is broken. Your merchandise is thrown out in the street. Maybe something catches on fire. Mm-hmm. There's retribution if you do not obey the laws. Now, these earlier models, these seabirds we were talking about,
yeah,
there's no retribution. They're just taking a risk. Maybe they'll raise it. Maybe they won't. Maybe it'll hatch and the young one will be able to squirm away before it's pecked off as an interloper.
Right.
But with the cowbird, there is retribution. Now, this used to be just more of a theory than anything. I believe the original theory, the mafia theory of the cowbird,
mm-hmm,
came from evolutionary biologist Amos Zavé, and this was back in 79.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually, scientists put all of this to the test.
That's right. Jeff Hoover at the Illinois Natural History Survey in Champaign, Illinois, provided artificial nests for 180 pair of prothonotary warblers and then waited for the cowbirds to cuckold them to deposit their eggs. Then he selectively removed the cowbird eggs. So what happened? Pretty soon those cowbirds swooped in, they retaliated, they returned to the nest to eat or destroy the remaining warbler eggs. And what's more, warblers that had laid too early,
mm-hmm,
for the cowbirds to cuckold them, they also suffered retribution too. Their nest also got turned over and destroyed. And the cowbirds would routinely eat or trash these more developed eggs to force the warblers to rebuild their nest elsewhere and start over again, and hopefully have it in sync when with the cowbirds could swoop in and deposit an egg.
So yeah, they came in and just totally devastated things. They really drove home, and we're going to anthropomorphize a little to layer that mafia understanding of this on the behavior, but they really come in, tear everything up, murder, with the strong message, hey, if you want to survive in this world, if you want to carry out the genetic mission of passing on your own genetic material and seeing that your children exist into the next generation, the generation behind it, the only way you're going to do it is by playing along with this little scheme of ours. You're going to have to accept it to a degree because the cost is way too high for you to pay.
Yeah, and to put numbers behind that cost, Hoover says that, again, that this, what you just described, is an evolutionary state of acceptance, and that the cost is that on average, the host birds will raise three of their own chicks when they also support a cowbird chick. Yet, they raise just one of their own if a cowbird egg has been rejected. And I like this idea of it's an evolutionary state of acceptance. Like, I gotta accept this. These are the terms. It's an offer I can't refuse.
Yeah, and you can extrapolate that to human culture as well. That there's sort of this built-in mathematical reason for why we will tolerate a certain amount of corruption, a certain amount of criminal activity, and a certain amount of just general awfulness on the part of peoples and organizations that rule over our world.
Yeah, and speaking of mathematical models, this mafia hypothesis, which had been really controversial, was finally borne out. Maria Abushakra, Arnie Trollson, and Christian Hilbe, they modeled this hypothesis with cuckoo birds who were ravaging, I think they were magpie birds, and they found that this theory does explain the behavior as long as two conditions are met. One, that the cuckoos visit the same nest repeatedly, and two, that the host birds are capable of learning. That's pretty important, right?
Yeah, because they also point out that they never establish an equilibrium here. So there are regular cycles in terms of the frequency of mafia, such as we're talking about with retribution, and non-mafia, no retribution, parasites, and host, and the acceptance of the egg. So you'll have periods where it's kind of like, did you ever read Thidwick the Big-Hearted Moose by Dr. Seuss?
No.
Fabulous story. Moose has antlers. He lets one animal live in his antlers. Then another one's living there. And then there are more and more animals living in his antlers until he finally says enough is enough, and he takes the antlers off. And he's no longer supporting all of these freeloaders. So inevitably you see this cycle. Like how, as it builds up, how much criminal behavior is a species going to accept before they retaliate? And then it dips back down. And then which ones are going to actually come in and destroy your stuff if you throw the parasites out. So it's the relationship has to continually find itself.
Yeah, it's interesting because there is, as you say, there's no equilibrium here. And when you see the host behavior here, it's either one of two things. Conditionally, they'll accept an egg, or mm-hmm. completely unconditionally. And that conditionally only occurs when there is not a large population of the parasitic birds, the cuckoo parasitic birds, exhibiting that mafia behavior. So in other words, they tend to be the majority.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens is that the pendulum begins to swing back the other way, because then the parasitic birds go, hey, we need to start tipping over some nests here and let them know. And as soon as they become the majority, the birds that are exhibiting that mafia tendency, then all of a sudden you have absolutely, like, unconditionally, of course, drop your eggs, do it. I'd love to host them. Great.
Right.
And why this is so important is that this means that the cowbirds, they don't have to specialize their eggs. They don't have to change any of the dynamics and try to, you know, fit in with other species.
Right. They don't have to worry about that egg just looking completely out of place, because it does.
Mm-hmm.
Because the message is like, hey, you know, it's you know, we're not trying to be subtle here. You know, if you don't pay me money, I'm going to break your shop. If you don't raise this egg, which looks totally different from the other eggs, I'm going to come in and tear up your nest.
Man, don't you wish that Dinosaur Train had started with this mafia parasite premise?
Oh, man.
You know, because isn't it the T-Rex has been dropped in the nest, and it's very
true.
Obvious to the mom Pteranodon, like, oh, this is not my kid here.
Yeah. Well, it is her kid.
Well, yes, but yes. I'm saying in the mafia version that hasn't come out yet.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be interesting to explore the animal mafia side of that family dynamic.
Indeed. Although I guess, you know, historically it wouldn't be necessarily accurate, because we don't have evidence during that period and in the fossil record to say that we would have some parasitic.
Well, they have that character that marches out of the door and explains to us what's real and what's
right,
dinosaur
right.
terrain.
So. Yeah, the big downer, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The Debbie Downer, who's like, no, dinosaurs aren't actually purple and red and green spotted. Yeah.
As important as choosing the right destination when traveling is choosing the right travel partner.
Gene!
Eugene Fodor!
Gene, was booted!
Much of the joy you will find on the road comes from the person you share it with.
So you write the books, Jean. I've lost her on the business. I understand now. It's a wise man who marries a wiser woman.
But be careful and choose your travel partner well, because the worst trips result when two partners have two different agendas.
Get down!
I'm not stupid, Jean. Something is going on, and it's high time you tell me the truth.
Freeze, Americano!
Huh? Oh! Jean, run!
So travel before it's too late. Your money will return. Your time won't. And we're all too quickly approaching that final destination.
Listen to Fodor's Guide to Espionage on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us.
Oh, yeah.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed, and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so there you have it. The animal mafia, the cuckoo mafia, the cowbird mafia. But let's turn back just one last time, even away from Dinosaur Train, and discuss the real world of human mafia, because you found a little bit of interesting data about their renewable energy interests.
Well, yeah, because again, the mafia is this huge thing, right? It's not just a bunch of, you know, Italian men in their undershirts playing checkers, but I will say it goes back to the roots here in Sicily, because it turns out that the mafia is very interested in renewable energy, specifically wind farms, because one, it fits the landscape of southern Italy, right?
Yeah, where they have a lot of influence and a lot of land under their sway.
Two, it's really easy for them to launder money through renewable energy.
Because you can make a lot of money disappear in renewable energy. I mean, it's a fact.
Yeah, because it's not that, there's not a lot of checks and balances going on with that. And so as a result, you have this great, robust alternative energy source going on in Italy. So
also government money flowing into it as well, you know? Because ultimately that comes down to it. If money's to be made off of it, the mafia is interested in it. If there's blood to come out of the host, then the parasite wants a taste.
And they're being smart about their money. Of course, now people will say that doesn't make things right just because you know, this is going on. There are terrible things that are being exacted upon humanity as a result. But it does make it that whole point about greater resources and protection for the community pretty plain and insight with this example of renewable energy making that part of Italy, which historically has been poor, flush with money.
Yeah. You know, you watch Breaking Bad, correct?
Yes.
You reach the point where you, I think it's early on in one of the couple seasons, where you encounter a potential money laundering business, a laser tag establishment.
Yes.
That has really colored the way I think about a lot of businesses. Like if I go into a business and it's just a little too dream come true, then I start to think about the possibilities that it's just a money laundering front. Like there are a few different stores. I'm not going to name any names, of course, but there are a few different stores in the Atlanta area, you know, and maybe I go inside and they just have a few mini toys for sale, or it just seems just like too much of a dream store. And I start thinking,
no customers.
Right. And maybe there aren't that many customers. And I start thinking, it's like, how is this staying afloat? This has to be some sort of a money laundering scheme.
Yeah. That show has completely changed my, perspective of nearly everything that I encounter. In fact, I was driving through my neighborhood the other day and a house was being tented for pest control.
Oh.
And I was like, oh yeah, I know what's going on in there.
Oh, Walter White, you changed our lives.
He really should have invested in wind farms, though. Don't you think that would have been kind of his jam? You know,
that would have been an interesting play. I mean, that sounds very Breaking Bad if it were still going on.
Yeah.
And I could easily imagine that
in
being
Arizona.
A plot point.
Yeah.
And I should also point out, we discussed before that wasps, of course, the world of wasps includes a lot of vile behavior. And you'll see plenty of examples of parasitic wasps laying their young inside of other nests.
Zombifying poor ladybugs.
Yes.
Do their bidding.
But also, like, hatching early in alien nests and then eating all the other young. So, you know, no matter how bad you've got it, birds, just remember, it could be worse. You could have to put up with the wasps.
Indeed.
All right, so, well, we thank you for putting up with us and joining us for the show. And if you want more, then be sure to check out stufftoblowyourmind.com. That is our mothership. That's where you'll find all the episodes of the podcast. You'll find all of our video products. You'll find our blog posts as well as links out to other stuff we're up to, various social media accounts, including Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr. I believe we even have a Pinterest account. There's the YouTube channel, Mind Stuff Show. Be sure to follow us there. But just go to stufftoblowyourmind.com and you will find all of those roads leading out.
In the meantime, if you have any mafia-tinged thoughts or strategies to share with us, you can do so at blowthemind@discovery.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
As important as choosing the right destination when traveling is choosing the right travel partner.
Gene! Gene Fodor!
Gene, was good!
But be careful, because the worst trips result when two partners have two different agendas.
The CIA really need your help, Gene.
Freeze, Americano! Huh?
Gene, run!
Listen to Fodor's Guide to Espionage on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast host Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.